couple of months ago, Bill asked if I would join in preaching one of these sermons based on John Wesley's notes. After I looked over the way John Wesley handled it, I understood why he went out of town. Because John Wesley called this the Great Assize. Well, my first question is, what is the Great Assize? It was a court in each of the counties there in England that handled criminal affairs. I still didn't know. But Wesley was referring instead to the Great Assize, the judgment seat of God, where, as Dan just read, all of us will stand at the judgment seat of God. So think of facing God as the judge after you die. Makes us shrink away, doesn't it? Makes us wonder. But God, in His grace and mercy, invites us to come to Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. Because of our sin nature and our sinful rejection of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we might shrink away, but we come boldly before the throne of God because we are the adopted children of God. And so I love what the choir sang, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see." I don't know what you're facing morning by morning, but whatever it is, God invites you to be there with Him. And what is grace anyway? It's been defined in many ways, and we'll see that on the slide here. Grace, someone has said, is getting something you don't deserve. And I do not deserve God's grace, for I too am a sinner. Even though I've got these fancy robes on, underneath is just a sinner forgiven by God's grace. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You know, we say the Apostles' Creed memorized and often don't even pay any attention to what those words mean. For even in the Apostles' Creed, we see that judgment is there. For we repeat these words, "From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead." Well, that lets me off because I'm not quick. I never have been. Even when I ran track and cross country in high school, I wasn't very quick. The only time my daddy congratulated me was when I said, "I came in third place today." And he said, "Oh, that's great." I said, "Well, not really. There were only three people in the race." Actually, this is an old archaic word that the quick means those who are alive, the quick and the dead. All of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Creed also affirms this, though, the resurrection and eternal life for believers. So, at the judgment seat of Christ, we have nothing to fear. If we are found in Christ and in Him is our forgiveness and our reconciliation to God our Father. Will Christians be judged? Yes, the Scripture is clear on that. But Jesus is our advocate. He's better than any of those lawyers advertised on TV. Better than anyone, in fact. He is our advocate. In fact, the Scripture says that even when we do not know what to pray, that the Holy Spirit intervenes for us, even when all we can do is groan, oh God, help me, oh God. The next slide is a quote from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And in fact, the book of Revelation and other scriptures make it sound even more scary, because it seems as though every attitude, every act, everything that we have done will be revealed. Those things that were done in public and those that were only in our thoughts. But somehow, the grace of God through Christ covers it all. Covers it all. We are all sinners. We don't hear it a lot anymore, but Romans 3:23 says that we are all sinners before God, that none of us has hope except through Him. And Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, eternal death, eternal separation from God. But I'm glad that he didn't stop there. Paul wrote, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Visualize it though, the court scene with God as the judge. And we are charged with a death sentence, as Romans says. We deserve eternal separation from God because of our sinfulness, our rejection, our rebellion against God, because we want to do it our way. We've heard the charges and the opening arguments. And then, as egotistical as we are, we say, wait a minute, lawyer, I want to defend myself. I want to defend myself. I don't need a lawyer. I can speak for myself. I'm not as bad as other people, that's for sure. I tried to do better. I even kept my Bible on the back of, you know, that back window of the car, and I picked it up once in a while. I was a good person. But I have to admit, my favorite song was I Did It My Way. That's okay, isn't it? And God could lower the gavel. Guilty. Guilty. But then Christ, our advocate, speaks up. God, I chose to take his place. I chose to take her place by dying on the cross. So therefore, I've already paid for their sins. And they are declared not guilty. 1 John 4 and verse 17. In fact, the good news of Christ is again spoken of in Romans 8 and verse 1. Memorize this. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Most of us know Romans 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not only the world, but put your name in there. For God so loved even George, that he gave his only begotten son. But what about the 17th verse? For Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he comes not to condemn, but to save us. In fact, John 5:24 says, truly I say to you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Oh, what amazing grace. I love that new version of the song Amazing Grace that begins with those familiar words and then triumphs with, my chains are gone. My chains are gone. See, you can drop those chains. You're not a slave anymore. You're not a condemned sinner anymore if you trust in Jesus Christ. My chains are gone. You may still be dragging those chains around, not realizing your inheritance in Jesus Christ. You know, Satan will whisper in your ear, you call yourself a Christian. I saw how you goofed up and messed up and violated his rules. You're not really a child of God. That's what Satan whispers to us, and sometimes we fall for that lie, for he is the king of liars. But thanks be to God, this next side says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy means that we don't get what we deserve. I grew up with two brothers and three sisters, and we heard this phrase a lot. Like, it's just not fair, Mama. It's just not fair, Daddy. Truth is, life is not fair, and in a backward sort of way, God's not fair because we deserve his judgment. But instead, he extends his grace. Just as much as that prodigal son did, he'd been off in the far country wasting his life. He finally came to himself and he said, oh, I can just go back. I don't deserve to be a son, but I can be one of my father's servants and slaves. He had his words all made up in his mind, and he went towards his father's house. But before he even got there, he saw way off in the distance his father standing there, waiting. We don't know how many days he'd been there, but he was anxious for his son to come home, for his child to come home. And he ran to his father and fell on his knees, but his father stood him up and embraced him and said to his servants, rejoice. For my son who was dead is now alive. Kill the fatted calf and throw a great celebration. You know, the scripture says that when we repent, that the angels in heaven rejoice. The Bible teaches that at the final judgment, some will be separated from God for eternity. That's never been a theme of my messages. Maybe I've been wrong, but I didn't think that scaring somebody out of hell was the way to go. Instead, the love of God that draws like a magnet, that assures us of his forgiveness and his open arms, even though pierced with those spikes and his side that was riven for us, he invites us to come home. But preacher, do you really believe that a loving God will send somebody to hell? Well, I'm glad about this, like I am a lot of things. I'm not in charge. God has not appointed me the judge. In fact, that's part of the scripture that we could have gone to, that we judge each other. And even in our defense to God, we say, Well, I messed up, but I'm not as bad as him or her. You know, their car was still parked in the garage when I came to church today. And we're not appointed as the judge, but he is. So what do you mean God doesn't send somebody to hell or to eternal separation? Someone has said that God has given us free will, and when we choose day after day after day to say, I'm not going to do it God's way, I know better, I'm going to do it my way. Even if we don't shake an angry fist at God, we say, well, I don't need you today. I got it covered for today. Just come to me in an emergency, like a fire escape. We may choose to ignore God and deny Him and refuse His offer of grace and forgiveness and eternal life. The Bible promises that at that judgment day, and this is even in the scripture that Dan read, and also in Philippians, that at that judgment day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So those who have not believed will, in that final judgment, kneel and say, Jesus Christ was Lord. I was wrong. I bet my life on it, and now my wish to be always separate from God has been granted. I don't know how that is. I don't really want to believe that that's how it is. I think we have a chance to repent, even like the thief on the cross. He hadn't been baptized. He didn't have an award pin for attending Sunday school. He didn't know scriptures. And yet Jesus said, this day you will be with me in paradise. For even in that last breath of life, we can say, oh God, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please save me. Adrian Rogers, that great Baptist preacher, long gone to the Father's house, but his messages are still on the radio. He says that Jesus Christ is inescapable and unavoidable. And if you do not meet Him as Savior, then you'll meet Him as judge. You may choose to ignore Him and refuse His offer of grace. C.S. Lewis, that great skeptic who became a mighty Christian, said, everyone in the world falls into two categories. Those who say to God, not your will, but mine be done. It's so easy to slip into that. Especially when God's way doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense sometimes. Because His ways are not our ways, but His way is best. But those who are like Jesus say to God, oh, I don't understand it all, God. My life is full of dark clouds right now, God. My heart is broken right now. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Someone has said that GRACE is an acronym, and if you wrote it down, it would be God's riches at Christ's expense. Well, I like to keep things simple. Oh, God, thank you that your riches redeem even someone like me. So the great assize mercy and grace triumph over judgment. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. In these last months, I've not only had mornings like those hours before 12 noon, but I've had a lot of morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. But God is great, and in His plan, even the death of my wife has not stopped me from holding on to that promise. Those who believe have resurrection and eternal life. But don't wait till that last breath, because you'll miss the fellowship with God and His way and His comfort and His help all those years before. It's not just about life beyond, but life here. Eternal life can begin today if you choose His grace and His love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.